we're all kind of leaning in that direction. You kind of didn't want to move too far into the pew because you might, something terrible might happen to you and you can't get out. Well, let's pray. Isaac, you want to pray for me? You knew. Did you know I was going to ask you to pray? No? Okay. Amen. Well, we're in Colossians chapter 2. And we're in verse 16. I think we'll get through verse 23 tonight. But we'll see. We should. Just again, a reminder that the whole point of Colossians that Paul's trying to communicate is that Jesus is all sufficient. And because he's all sufficient and you're in union with him, you're complete in Christ. That's why he says in verse 28 and 29 of beginning of verse 27 through verse 29 of chapter 1, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Verse 18, just a couple of reminders. For he is the head of the body of the church. For he is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, that he might himself have preeminence or first place in all things. Chapter 2, verse 6. I'm going to read through what we've taught and so that when we get to verse 16, it will make sense to you. Verse 6. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, just walk in him, having been firmly rooted in him, and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception, according to the elementary traditions of men, the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity is embodied, and in him you have been made complete or full. And he is the head over all rule and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, by which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Therefore, in light of all that, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or new moon or Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance is Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize, which is Christ, by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows a growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ, and it's really, literally, since in light of the fact that you've died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. These are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Since then you've been raised up with Christ. Just keep seeking those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you have died. And your new life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who's your life, is manifested, you will be manifest with Him in glory. Now, we won't get that far in chapter 3, but I want you to see the connection. Because those verses from chapter verse 8 through verse 15, as I've said to you already several times, is the most complete place in all the Scriptures that decree to us and declare to us the finished work of Christ and its impact on our lives. That you and I experienced a heart circumcision. We came to Jesus that's revealed in our baptism, or we see in our baptism that is this picture of our salvation, buried, risen up, raised up with Him as a new creation. That in that the person we once were died, the person that could be described as a body of flesh or a body of sin died. The old man, the slave to sin, died. We were buried, we were raised up with Him as a new creation, sharing His very life. And in the process of doing all that, He was able to accomplish all that because first and foremost, our sins have been forgiven. And in forgiving our sins, every decree that's ever been against us because of the broken laws were nailed to the cross in Jesus. And those things no longer stand over us. And in light of that, the enemy has no legal or spiritual authority to do anything to you or to me. He's been publicly disarmed. Because He was able to have authority because of the decrees against us. We're no longer under guilt or under condemnation, so He has no rights. Okay? This is cool stuff. Free from the power of sin, because we're not the old man anymore. Forgiven. A new creation, because Christ lives in us, risen from the dead. And the enemy has no authority over us. Therefore, in light of this complete work that's yours in Christ, remember what He said again in verse 9 and 10. For in Him all the fullness of deity is embodied, and in Him you have been made full. And then He explains how that all happened in those next verses. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Things which are mere shadows of what is to come, but the substance is Christ. So I've read this earlier, but I want to read it again and look at a few things. Stop letting people defraud you of your prize. What's your prize? Complete in Christ. Full in Christ. Because of all that He's done. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions you've seen and play without cause in fleshly mind, not holding fast to head. And we'll look at that in just a minute. In verse 20, He uses the term elementary principles. You die to them. He used that same phrase up in verse 8. And just to remind you again, the tradition of men that He's referring to, the elementary principles could be, a large category would be like keeping the law or performance based acceptance, so that if you perform enough, you'll be accepted enough where God will start giving you cool stuff, start doing cool things in your life. Or we've said before is that if you'll just achieve enough, you'll receive more. Instead of believing that we've received more, we've already received everything, so we can go achieve. And really, the Colossians is so simple. As I've said to you before, Paul just keeps hammering the same nail. He'll use little different phrases, but he's really saying the same thing. So it's easy kind of to teach Colossians in big chunks, because he'll go three or four verses or five or six verses, and he's just trying to make one point. And all these verses, in verses 16 through 23, he's just saying, in light of the fact that in Christ you've been made complete, that He took you to the place of execution. He raised you up in union with you in His resurrection life. And you now share resurrection life in Christ. The fact that your sins have been forgiven. There's no decrees against you anymore. Therefore, the enemy's been defeated. Sin's been defeated. The enemy's been defeated. You're not under condemnation anymore because sins are all forgiven. He says, in light of all that, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's about discovery. And that's why I read those first few verses in chapter 3, because it's just a continuation. The chapter divisions, they're helpful, but they're man-made, right? So having said in verse 20, since you've died with Christ to these things, and then verse 1 of chapter 3, since you've been raised up with Christ, since you're not that, you're this, seek the things which are above. Set your mind on things above. For your new life is hidden with Christ and God. Your spirituality, your holiness, your spirituality is all wrapped up in your union with Christ. Who you are in Christ, the fullness of Christ that you share. And he's going to say some strange things like in verse 20 he says, since then you've died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit to such things? Huh? I mean, I feel like I'm just living in the world. But Paul's like saying, you're a heavenly creature housed in a physical body. You're not what you once were. There's something uniquely different about you. You're a citizen of heaven. Your source of life is heavenly. You're not just on earth grinding it out against the results of the fall, just overcoming the curse. You've been raised up with Christ. Jesus said about himself, remember again in John chapter 8, he said to the Pharisees, you're from below, but I'm from above. And that place that Edith has got memorized in part of her soul, because she's heard it so much in our noon service, from John chapter 3, says, who's from above is above all. He who's of the earth speaks of the earth, but he who's from above is above all. And he bore witness of what he saw and heard. So Jesus, though his feet were planted on the earth, he wasn't of the earth. He wasn't like of this world, because he lived an otherworldly life as an alien, the spiritual heavenly being in the midst of this world that we live in. And Paul's like calling us to say, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's about discovery. And if you'll discover who you are in Christ, the do's and don'ts have a way of taking care of themselves. If all we're doing in discipleship or trying to help people is tell them what they don't do that. You should do this. They're never going to get there. I mean, there's nothing wrong with holding somebody accountable. But in the end, it's about discovery. Who you are in Christ, and Christ doesn't do those things. And if you walk out your fullness in Him, you'll find that you can't do them either, because there's this union thing, and you're carrying the mind of Christ, and Christ doesn't think like that. But it's scary to take a chance on that. We got to put people under stuff, right? We got to control their behavior. And we do this to ourselves, so let me just go through this. He says, let no one keep acting as your judge in regard to food or drink, respect to a festival or a new moon. Those aren't real relative to what we live, but the principles are the same. Things which have are mere shadow, but he says the substance is Jesus. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he's seen, and inflated without cause. And so several things he said, like, that would address certain things that we see. Like, there are certain expressions of in the Christendom that says, well, you got to do, like, Saturday's the Sabbath. If you don't keep the Sabbath, if for certain foods you eat, it's wrong. And Paul's like going, I don't know. I'm not sure how they do that. I don't know how Seventh-day Adventists do that when we read the New Testament. Paul said, that has no value at all in terms of fleshly indulgence. It doesn't do anything to help you not walk in the power of sin. The thing about food and drink, you know, what you can't eat, what you can't drink. He said, if that's what you're focusing on, or, he says, no one keep defrauding you of your prize, delighting in self-abasement. Now hear this one. And the worship of angels taking a stand on visions, this is sort of covers the charismatic realm of which I am. And in my life with the Lord, I've been privileged to have visions and all kinds of stuff as a prophetic person. I've done a lot of time fasting in my life. But Paul really goes after that. He says, those things don't get you more in Christ. You got everything. The substance is Jesus. If you delight in self-discipline, if you delight in self-abasement, if you delight in visions, taking your stand on visions, or encounters with angels, just charismatic things in general, if that's your story, he says, then that's your prize. He says, your prize is Jesus and the fact that you're complete in Him. Verse 19 says, instead of holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and the ligaments, grows a growth which is from God. He said, you want to grow in the Lord? Hold fast to the head. It's not about do's and don'ts, about food or drink, about keeping rules like Sabbath or not. It's not about how much you fasted or how long you prayed or how many visions you've had. It's about Him. He's your prize. And you'll grow a growth that's from God. And if in growing in Him and discovering Him, you have visions, you have visions. It's an outflow of being full, not a way to get full. Does it make sense to you? It's an outflow. It's the result of. You know, that is so contradictory. Even to the spirituality that's out there floating around in a lot of places. He says, if you've died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, well, as if you were living in the world, you submit yourself to decrees like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Do you hear what he just said? Decrees. Up in verse 14, having canceled out their certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. For doing what? Breaking the law. But if we put ourselves back under the law and our whole Christian life's about do's and don'ts and performance-based acceptance, we put ourselves back under the law. We're living by self-induced decrees and thinking that somehow I'm missing out or I'm being judged because I'm not doing enough of this or I'm not doing enough of that or not doing enough of that. Do you see that? So the decrees against you have been nailed to the cross. And all the curses that come from broken law, the broken law, and all the decrees against you. But if you live your life by do's and don'ts, then you've put yourself under your own law. And under you created your own set of decrees, and you walk around feeling judged and guilty all the time because you're not doing enough or not saying it right or not doing this. You hear me? Have any? I mean, none of y'all have ever done that? I see Christians doing it all the time. Spirit-filled Christians. You have a prize. He described that prize in verse 8 through 15. You're complete in Christ. Everything that you need is in Jesus. It says again, he says, these things are all shadows of what's to come, but the substance is Jesus. The substance of your Christianity is a person. So what do we do? How do we grow? I don't want to stay like this, Bishop. I want to grow. Then hold fast to the head. And you'll grow a growth that's from God. That's one of the most liberating things I ever learned a long time ago. I've had so many people over the years who, and I know what that's like, is that just so frustrated and guilty and condemned all the time. And I go, well, hold fast to the head. Just cling to Jesus. Because that's where your fullness is. He's your prize. The substance is Christ. Discover. Depend and discover. It's not about do's and don'ts. If you do more, you'll don't do more, don't do it enough. Or things that we deal with. See, one of the things that Scripture will say to you, like, this is an example. This is a taboo thing, but I'll give this example. The whole argument about, is it okay to drink wine or not drink wine? Or to have something like that. And so we're just going to be honest about it biblically. The Bible doesn't forbid that. So the Bible forbids things like drunkenness because Jesus doesn't do stuff like that. Or getting addicted to something because Jesus doesn't do that. Or if you've got to drink to be happy, that certainly isn't. Fruit of the Spirit is like love, joy, peace, patience. You understand me? But what we want, I'll just read this. Let me read this to you. Galatians. Hope I'm not jumping around too much. That's okay. So I'm going to give you the biblical balance. It is so cool. Verse 16 of Galatians 2. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, and that we have may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, not by human effort, not by performance, not by achieving. Since by the works of the law shall no man be justified. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. In other words, if you're now in Christ and you're still trying to be justified by do's and don'ts. For if I rebuild what I once destroyed, living under the law, achieved, receive. If I rebuild what I once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, that I might live to God. Now hear what he says here. The law is what killed me. Because the decrees condemned me. And so I had to go to the place of execution because the laws killed me. The law was a verdict against me. Through the law, I died to the law. Why? So that risen from the dead, I can now try to keep the law some more? Live my life based on do's and don'ts, achieve so you can receive? Can, can't, touch, taste, no, yes. And the law is not just about, well, can you have a glass of wine or not have a glass of wine? You know, or certain foods you can't eat. You can't eat pork. You can't do this. Or maybe you're not fasting enough. Maybe you're not praying long enough. Maybe you're not disciplined enough spiritually. Maybe there's not enough self-denial. Or maybe you've not had enough encounters and envisions. And, oh, can you just have one of those ones like that person you read about had? And so you feel guilty because you're not doing enough or haven't experienced enough or haven't had enough visions enough. You're not charismatic enough. And he says, the substance you've got. He says, through the law, I died to the law, huh? That I might live to God. That's the deal. It's about living to God. It's about living to God. Instead of all the do's and don'ts, it's about living to God. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in flesh by I live by faith, and the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. It was all about self-effort and do's and don'ts. There's no point in Jesus dying on the cross at all. Because on the cross, Jesus didn't just pay for your sin, remember? He took the serial sinner to the cross, the guilty serial sinner to the cross, and you became a new creation. The whole point of the cross wasn't just paying for your sin, but was to have a whole new humanity, a whole new creation that's in union with Him. But if righteousness comes through the law, then there was no point in all that, because you could just stay who you were and just keep trying the best you could to get better. I like this a lot too. Here's Galatians. Verse 16. So here are the whole balance here. Let me start at verse 13. But you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Amen. But through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbors yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Did y'all hear that? Grace isn't where you can go sin all you want to. As a matter of fact, if you start walking under the grace of God in union with Christ, knowing that you've received, that you can achieve, you can get far away with far less sin than you ever could under the do's and don'ts. Because you're in union with Him. The mind of Christ is bleeding into your own consciousness. Scripture gives us standards. He'll say in just a minute, now these are things you don't do if you're walking in the Spirit. And if you're doing them, that tells you you're not walking in the Spirit. So is the answer just stop doing them? No, you better discover. Because here's the deal. Are you really holy if you don't kill people, but in your heart you hate them? In your heart, you're bitter towards them. You bite and devour one another. Just trying to stop doing that isn't going to be of any value against fleshly indulgence. But discovering who you are in Christ, He said, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He doesn't say stop fulfilling the lust of the flesh so you can walk by the Spirit. He says walk by the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I believe in union with Christ. I believe that He really is real. I believe He's really real. I believe I'm really born again. I believe I'm really in Him and He's in me. I believe that we're in union with each other. And I believe that everything He has, I have. I believe that. I know that to be true. I believe it's operating in my life. That's why the Song of Solomon says, this Shulamite, as she's growing in the Lord, she says to him, she says, we have a little sister and she has no breast. It means she has nothing to offer others. Her whole world's still about me. It's all about me, Jesus. I am always on my mind. That's another one of the famous songs. I am always on my mind. And he says, he said, basically, she needs planks of silver nailed to this open door that's sort of in the world, out of the world, that she travels in the world, out of the world. Planks of cedar. Cedar's about new creation. He said, she needs to discover who she is so she can be what she's become. Now, look what he says. Well, by the Spirit you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. If you're walking in the flesh, And if you'll notice, those who walk in the flesh are people who are still living under law because they're trying to do this thing by their own best effort. The Scripture says the power of sin is the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness. That's the work of the flesh. So it's right there. It's like, okay, drunkenness is not God. It's not Jesus. It's not what the Spirit does. Carousings and things like these, which I forewarned you, before, that those who practice such things aren't part of the kingdom. That's not what Jesus does. That's not kingdom life. It's evidence of the fact that if that's a way of life. So what do we do? How do we help them? Get on them, man. Stop doing that. And I'm going to cast the spirit of that out of you right now in Jesus' name. Well, you'll just do that 1,000 more times in the next 10 years in their life, because if you don't get them to discover how to hold fast to the head, they'll never start growing out of that. I want people to grow, don't you? Jesus wants us to grow. We grow by holding fast to the head. It's about do's and don'ts. It's about discover. Now, you understand, I'm not talking about license and you can go out and run around doing sin, because he says no. This is a good plumb line to say, whoop, if this is where you're living, there's things you haven't discovered. But the way you stop doing that is by discovering. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he says here, the flesh will lust against the Spirit, didn't he? Desire against the Spirit. But if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill. But the fruit of the Spirit, he says, as opposed to all those other terrible things the flesh does, the fruit of the Spirit, this is if you walk in the Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit creates in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And that's where we always stop. That's what he says. Against such things there is no law. Why would you need to put somebody under law who's walking in all that? If you're walking in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, you're doing really good spiritually. There's no need for laws to say, well, just do this and stop doing it. You're growing. Our growth is from God. And he goes on and says, now those who belong to Christ, Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So things like, let's just say, an example would be, you have somebody whose background is abuse when it comes to alcohol. What would my counsel be to a person like that? I'd go, well, we've proven that that's a real stronghold in your flesh. So the wisdom, I think that's not going to be a wise path for you to walk in. But how do I get you to stop longing for the alcohol? To walk in the Spirit. Learn to hold fast to the head. Discover who you are in Christ. Because Christianity is supernatural, you guys. It's not a self-improvement program. It's not, what's the psychological term? Behavioral modification. By rolling up your sleeves. It's transformation. So I believe it's okay to do all those things? No. He just said those are the works of the flesh. You're in the Spirit. You're not in this world, he said in Colossians. You're different. So why don't you start seeking the things that are above, set your mind on things that are above, see? So you can know transformation. We're transformed by the renewing of our what? Mind. For your new life is hidden with Christ in God. Lose the guilt. Lose the condemnation. Don't put decrees on you. He nailed the decrees of the cross. Stop putting yourself under guilt and condemnation. Commit yourself to transformation. That's by holding fast to the head. It's called the One Step Program. Jesus. I'm not against 12-step programs. You with me? But I do struggle with, and I understand the point. My dad was an alcoholic. So I'm real sensitive to that. I understand. But for a Christian to look and say, I'm an alcoholic. Well, no, you're not. You're a new creation. You're complete in Christ. If you're saying that's the place of weakness in your life and your flesh, okay, I understand that. But I just think it's like a curse. It's like me going, I'm a fearmonger. That's basically what I am. Because that's been the area of my flesh I've had to battle with the most in my life. Well, I'm just fear. That's who I am. No, I'm not. I'm complete in Christ. And He's not afraid. As long as I hold fast to the head, I can know His peace and His courage. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, and self-control. And against such things, there's no law. If it was built in everybody, let's say Broad Street or what? What's the speed limit on Broad Street? Huh? 35. So let's just say it was just in everybody. This is in you to drive 35 miles an hour. And we have to put signs up. Or we'd have to arrest you. Because it's just in you to go 35 miles an hour. The Holy Spirit's in you. Jesus is real committed to holiness. He gives us clear things in Scripture to help us. Oh, we get derailed. Whoops. Okay, yep. Nope, no, that's not the Holy Spirit. Discover. You're not going to get set free by feeling guilty, by condemning yourself, or by other people putting that on you. All they've done is create decrees over you. And it just makes it worse. Discover. Press in. You're a Christian. You want to discover. You want to go 35 miles an hour. It's a shocking thing to discover. You have a new heart. All those ought to's and want to's, that's the real you. That's Romans 7. Oh, there's so many scriptures I want to read, but I'm not going to. Because I want to kind of get through this, and we can come back and look at it next week. But so you see how all this whole section is connected? So let me just read it again. Bear with me. There's a method behind my madness. Therefore, let no one keep defrauding, acting as your judge in regard to food or drink, respect to festival or new moon or Sabbath day. Things are they're mere shadows of what is to come, but the substance is Jesus. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize, which is Jesus, by delighting in self-abasement, worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he's seen, and play without cause in his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows a growth which is from God. So we just say to you again, as a charismatic, how many times do I see this in charismatics? I got to go here because I got to have the same experience. I mean, I've watched people before listen to a message from someone and say, hey, you know, so-and-so prayed, people just were thrown back like 4 or 5 feet. And it was real. And then I'd go to meetings with them and somebody would lay hands on them and I would watch them throw themselves back about 5 feet. Because they got to have the same experience. So they'll be complete. That's behind it. So I'll be the real deal. So you say, well, Bishop, I haven't had a lot of visions and stuff. I don't care. Just hold fast to the head. You'll grow growths from God. I don't do a lot of fasting. Hold fast to the head. If you're supposed to, you will. Because it helps you discover. You don't do it to get something you don't have. You helps you discover. It's kind of focus. You with me? So, Bishop, I can't really move in the prophetic. I don't care. That would make you more complete if you move in prophetic. Y'all hearing me? A lot of Christians move in condemnation about that. You got Jesus. You got the substance. You got the prize. The prize isn't the prophetic. Well, I don't move in healing. Hold fast to the head, you will, because he's a healer. Matter of fact, all the gifts reside in you because you got Jesus. And so the point is just hold fast to the head. If he wants to pop one of them out of you every now and then, let him do it. That's his business, right? So let me just read these verses again, verse 20 through 23, and we'll jump in there next time and go into chapter 3 because they're so connected. Since then, you've died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world. Why, as if you were living in the world. That just fascinates me. That scripture just fascinates me. You're in Christ, seated in heavenly places. That's who you are. You may look like a worldling. You may live in an earth suit, but there's more to you than that. That's not who your true identity is. See, we're here to impact this world for the kingdom. And so it's kind of like Eucharist to me. People get all these discussions about the bread and the wine. I get tickled. Somebody recently said something about that. I thought, I don't understand either. I don't understand Jesus living in my heart. Like, where? In my chamber? Which chamber? In the Old Testament, they would say God was in your kidneys. Really? Which part of my kidney? It's a metaphorical statement. So, I believe that bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus. Now, how can that be? Is that Roman Catholic? No. Just get that out of your head. Don't let somebody else's error rob you of the truth. It's what the church has always believed. It's what the scripture says. But it doesn't taste like. That became the big argument. Well, we did scientific tests and it's not real blood. It doesn't taste like blood. And really? Why aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that it's body and blood, but it still tastes just like grape juice or wine and like bread? And you know what? You're in this world, but he even says you're not in the world here. But Jesus said you're not of this world. You're not of this world. You're other creature. You're not a worldling. You're in, but you're not. But you couldn't do much good. Like, anybody watch the movie Cocoon? In Cocoon, remember the aliens? They wore an earth suit because there were things they wanted to do. When they took the earth suit off, it just scared people. You still need the earth suit to take as many people as you can into transformation, into the kingdom. But there's more. At the heart of who you are is someone who died with Christ. In chapter 3, verse 1, who's now risen with Christ. Therefore, you need to start studying about heavenly things. Seek those things that are above, so you can set your mind on things above. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You've got to start thinking different, because you are different. When Christ is your life is manifested. The more you seek those things above, the more you set your mind on things above, the more you realize that your life is him in Christ and God, the more he'll begin to manifest himself through you. And you'll experience glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why do you submit yourself to such degrees that don't handle, not taste, not touch? All refer to things destined to perish with the using. They have no eternal value. Really. I've been doing this radical diet thing since stuff I've gone through, and I've even got more radical. Is it really relevant? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. My flesh says to me to live is cheeseburgers, and to die is scary. To me to live is a nice juicy steak, and the idea of dying is frightening. To me to live is onion rings, and to die is to be avoided at all costs. That's not what Paul said. His paradigm of what it is to be a Christian, here's his worldview, to live is Christ. So life is awesome. I'm in Christ. And to die, he said, I'll see him face to face. What I know in part, I'll know in full. Because that's home. I have a round trip ticket. I'm headed home. And I carry home in my heart, and I study about home. I remind myself that I'm not home here. This isn't home. In this last verse, we'll look at a little bit of this again next time, but these are matters which, to be sure, have the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion. All that self-made religion does is create decrees against you and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body. But are of no value against fleshly. And the word here is fleshly fullness. You're never going to find fullness in the flesh. And the flesh is always trying to fill itself. I don't mean that like just terrible things, but when you were lost, you were always running around trying to get complete. Sins is about trying to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. He says, none of those things, the do's and the don'ts, really have any value against fleshly indulgence or fullness. Because like I said before, he said, well, I don't commit adultery, but you lust in your heart. Well, that's not victory. Well, I don't drink, but I wish I had a drink every minute of every day. That's not victory. That's still the flesh stuff. And just by going do's and don'ts doesn't give you victory. What brings you victory is your heart's been circumcised already. You were crucified with Christ. He's now your life. You're in union with Him. So instead of always focusing on the things below, what I can, what I can't do, why don't we start seeking the things above where Christ is? Because you've died with Christ. And you're now hidden with Christ in God. That's where you're going to find life. That's where you find power. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen? I hope I didn't do a terrible job explaining all that. That's a little... Well, Lord, thank you for your word. It causes you to go deep in us, bring forth 100-fold harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.